Hey guys, what's happening out in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today I would like to talk a little bit about the hearing of sharks. And people always mention, well, the shark just showed up out of nowhere. Well, you know, no shark shows up out of nowhere. There must be a reason, there must be a trigger, a lure, however you want to call it. And very often it is sound. We don't really understand sound in sharks that well. Granted, there have research projects been done and we have a general idea how good they can hear and such. But when it comes down to humans, the research is still not around. We started last year on some of these projects, but I guess it will a little bit more time to finally get a really, really good grasp of what's going on. Nevertheless, we've seen some tendencies, and I think we are actually in the right direction where the answers, the final answers, will be. Let me give you a quick idea about sounds and pressure and all these things. Sharks can hear from about 20 hertz to maximum about 1600 hertz. That means frequencies per second. If you use humans, babies can hear up to about 20,000 hertz. Older people like me, maybe 12,000 hertz. So we have a much wider spectrum than compared with sharks. But sharks don't really have to hear much better because they're tuned into struggling sounds of prey, most of the time fish. And a fish cannot struggle faster than about 1500 hertz, so a shark actually can hear whatever he has to hear. If struggling sounds would be quicker, faster, well, then a shark would have developed its hearing towards that circumstance as well. If you go back to fish, a fish can hear actually more or less the same, in the same range as sharks. We talk about 50 hertz to about 1500 hertz, but you have some exceptions there. For example, some herrings, they can actually hear in the ultrasound with up to 200 kilohertz. 1 kilohertz is 1000 hertz, 200,000 hertz. And that is quite a bit, but no shark actually would need that. Whenever we're in the water, we're creating sounds. But at the same token, when I move through the water and create these sounds, I do not just create a tone, I also create water pressure. The relocation of water, water displacement is what goes on when we swim around, move around in the water. From a certain distance on, the shark cannot detect water displacement anymore. It's only the sound part that can be heard. This is what we call a far field. Of course, if there's a far field, there is a near field. The near field is when the shark then picks up the water displacement, mainly with its lateral line system. Hearing a far field is, of course, done with the inner ears. Sharks have inner ears. They look not unlike others, and they don't have outer ears. And the ear openings in a shark, you would not find them on the sides of the head, but they're very much on top of the head. So a shark has two forms of hearing detection. One, of course, is the water displacement. The other one is the actual sound. Well, we all know sound travels faster in water. It's about 4 times faster than in air. And what actually happens is that there must be matter that can carry a wave. If there is no matter, then we can't hear anything. So, for example, if I would go into space, that's kind of vacuum, there would be no sound. Anyway, a shark comes now closer, and the closer a shark gets, the more water displacement would take over. Remember when we talked about the inner circle, and I said it's about 2 body lengths of a shark? These 2 body lengths is exactly the distance a shark would be able to detect water displacement. So you would say whenever a shark is not in the visual range, I mean further away than two body lengths, a shark would not be able to use his lateral line system. Well, that's not true, because there's a very neat little thing that predators do, are able to, not just sharks, we know it from pikes as well and other predators in water, is whenever we move, we create little turbulences, eddies, little whirls. And that means just the water particles have energy and they move around. So it takes some time till these particles actually don't move anymore. So for an extended period of time, maybe 1 hour or up to 2 minutes, some of these water motions, water particle motions can be detected by a shark or, as I just said, by a pike. So a shark does not really have to see, physically see what it follows as long as it can pick up these eddies, these whirls, the water displacements, the motion of the water. And it's basically like a shark is on a train track. She just follows these whirls. And eventually, of course, the shark will then have visual. And once they are in visual range, most of the time, the shark will then just be guided by its eyes until it comes that close that the lateral system again can take over. When the shark is like on a whirl track, it's of course the lateral line system who is used. Whenever a shark is very, very close, very often it is oriented towards our feet. Why is that? Whenever we see a shark coming, we should stop swimming. And the recommendation says go in a vertical position and let your feet dangle. Most of the time we don't let the feet loose dangle. When you're at the surface, for example, and we just see the shadow of a shark, we move with our legs to stay in position. But as soon as a shark shows up, he starts, or she starts, to scan us. Sharks won't like to know what we are. Of course, they will never figure out what we are. So what they do, as we humans do when we explore something unusual, we are looking for things we know. For example, if I use a remote control, and I would show you to an audience, hey, what is this? The most likely answers will be, it looks like, or it reminds me of. That's the way sharks most likely scan us, so they look for things they understand. Of course, if I move my feet, I create water pressure. Water pressure in the shark's world is propulsion. And so the shark would be naturally attracted to this part of our body that a shark seemingly knows. And it's actually very interesting. For example, the Mako shark is a very fast, probably the fastest shark of all the species. And it can go up to about 100 kilometers per hour, 60 miles per hour or so. And they liked going after swordfish. Now, swordfish is very quick as well. What the Mako shark normally does when he goes after a swordfish, he bites off its tail. So if there is no more propeller, there is no more propulsion. So a shark would actually handle persons in a similar way. And well, we end up then once in a while, we end up with bites to the feet. Let's go back quickly to this struggling sound. Struggling sound is when a prey is dying, stressed out, and it creates arrhythmical sound patterns. A shark's hearing evolved to exactly these sounds, which have to be or should be arrhythmical, non-rhythmical. So that is what the shark would then actually hear and what would lure him in and bring him to the source. Struggling as well is, of course, within the range of about to 1500. No, prey can actually move faster with higher frequency. So struggling includes spasms, shaking, quick muscle contraction, and that is what a shark is really evolved to hear best. This is a funny thing. For example, in the Bahamas where I work, we have a lot of bull sharks. Right now, they're a little scarce up in the north. But interesting thing is, if we, let's say, work with a hawkfish, if we stress out a hawkfish, Lacnolamus maximus, we bring in sharks. So it truly, not just sharks, but bull sharks in particular. So it seems that the struggling of a hogfish is really one of the main bells for bull sharks to come in. Now, with all these sounds, struggling, what to do, what not to do, whenever we are underwater and we do not really want to attract sharks, well, what we should do, of course, we should eliminate our sounds, meaning, well, we go in a vertical position, we let the feet dangle and we just move with our arms, we pivot our body axis, we scull, using the hands and arms. So, of course, that would work with a shark. What else we can do is, of course, we swim in areas where the shark cannot hear us. Of course, I do not suggest swim close to rocks or breaking waves, but these are very, very loud elements, and our sound patterns will be way overshadowed by these type of sounds. But it also goes for waves. Waves can be very loud, and of course, a shark would then not hear us. And the only way a shark would still find us would be by chance in a visual manner. We did some research already on the topic, and interesting thing is, when you have plankton-rich waters, you actually don't hear human sounds at all either anymore. And of course, then comes temperature and pressure. We know that with increase and decrease of pressure, increase, decrease of temperature, the sound gets weaker or stronger either way. But of course, there's something else. This is a distance to a shark. The further away you are, the less likely a shark hears you. But of course, it also comes down to the loudness. Loudness would be a high amplitude or high intensity. But overall, what truly seemed to bring in most sharks is splashing. Splashing, you know, you frolic in the water, you hang around, you jump around. That seems to be very interesting for a variety of sharks. And what we assume right now is the splashing sounds, they are arrhythmical, match the ones of a struggling fish. So, if you're out there, you don't want to attract a shark, move as rhythmical as possible. Do not really make splash sounds. Don't try to be stressed, because stress could actually create these sound patterns as well. And of course, whenever the shark shows up, or just a shadow of a shark, go vertical. And most importantly, let your feet dangle and do not, I repeat, do not try to move away from the shark until the shark passes. Okay, I hope you get now a little idea about how sounds may work, what you have to look for, what is important. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.